Hey, I am so thankful to be here today. Thankful to see each and every one of you. We are glad to have you at Southern Hills. Today, we begin a two-week sermon series entitled Thankful, and it's all about having an attitude of gratitude. How many of you in your life have somebody that you know should and needs to have a better attitude of gratitude? How many of you have somebody in your life that you know needs to have a better attitude of gratitude? How many of you have somebody like that in your life? How many? Raise your hand. How many of you, that person is you? Can I get an amen? So we're gonna talk about how to have an attitude of gratitude. And my proposition for today's sermon series is, and next week, is that a thankful heart is a happy soul. And that there's no way possible for you to truly enjoy the life that God has given you unless you're understanding that type of, and that's gonna be the next 2 weeks, this week and the next week. And then on the 24th of November, it's a big deal, it's a big deal, a brand new sermon, well, I can't tell you what it is, but I will say on November 24th, there's going to be a major announcement about the timeline for the new building that's gonna be given by Pastor Caleb Sargent. That's 2 weeks from today, November 24th. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. You say, but I gotta work that day. Quit your job, come. And be a part of that special November 24th day. God is at work. Probably about 2 months ago, I began to wrestle with this idea of how we're gonna teach this concept and what God wanted me to say on November 10th and November 17th. And in study and prayer, I came to the realization that the full church isn't fully aware of all that God is doing here. What God is doing here. And so God began to work on my heart, though we normally go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through books of the Bible. We just finished Judges chapter 14 through 16, 13 through 16. We are now moving into 2 weeks where we're gonna talk about the topic of Thanksgiving in preparation for Thanksgiving. And what God is doing here, that's the first sermon. And the second sermon, what God is doing here. What God is doing here. And the second sermon, what God is doing here. And I believe this, this is my proposition. I believe that if you are here for the next two Sundays, today and next week, to really focus in on what God is doing around you and then what God is doing within you, you will walk into the holiday season in a much better place, because a thankful heart is a happy soul. You say, what do you mean not everybody is aware of all that is happening here? Friend, whether or not you realize it, you are in the midst of a miracle revival from God. You are in the midst of something really special, really unique. If you're new to Jesus Christ, you may not understand the uniqueness of all that God is doing around you. If you have been a Christian for a long time, you may have grown used to God's blessing, so much so that you may not recognize all that God is doing here. And I begin by telling a story to demonstrate this, a story of this family right here, a little family. That's Daisy and Joshua. And the guy in the red shirt, that's me. You say, why are you always in the photograph? Pastor, why are you always in the, I feel like the world needs encouragement. Stupid joke. And then this guy, this is Elijah. They go to our church and they've been coming for a while. It all started when Daisy's aunt invited her to come and visit the church. Daisy was just a teenager and wasn't interested in God, wasn't interested in church, but her aunts kept saying, come to church with me, come to church with me. How many of you have family or friends? You're like, they're not interested, but you keep begging them anyway, right? And that was the scenario, come to church. She said, I don't wanna go. So finally, the aunt had a good idea. She said, why don't you come over and spend the night at my house on Saturday night and I'll take you to brunch on Sunday morning. How many of you have ever committed fraud for Jesus? Can I get an amen, right? It's a lie, it's a lie, but it is what it is, you know? It's gaslighting, yes. Yeah, so that's what she did, it's fine. I mean, I don't know, I'm just telling you history, I'm not condoning. And so they go to brunch, and as they go to brunch down Rainbow, they turn on Pebble, and they start heading toward church. And she's only a teenager at the time, like 17 years old or something. And she looks over at her aunt and says, that's the church. She said, yeah, we're just gonna stop here first. And she got really nervous. She grabbed the seat. I don't want to go. And so they pulled in the parking lot and she said, fine, you go in. And Daisy sat in the car. Just grumpy, a little upset. And then finally she got bored, I guess, and came in and sat in the back or in the middle somewhere. And her aunt liked to sit up front. And so she came in and she said, it wasn't bad. I'll go back. And she kept coming back like week after week. And they sat right here. Week after week. And then Daisy's aunt moved out of town. And Daisy was like, well, I don't want to go by the church by myself, but I'm going to still go because I really want to learn more about God. And so she sat by herself right here for a longest time. Every week I would see her. Some weeks she had different color hair. It was the same person though, every week. I'm like, that's that girl. I didn't know her name. It's the same girl. And she's just by herself going to church. By the way, some of you are like that. You go to church by yourself, and I cannot tell you how proud I am of you and how difficult that is. That's absolutely incredible. Let's give these people a round of applause. That's amazing. It's amazing to me. It really is. It's really, every week she come. And then eventually I got to the point where I started noticing, I noticed she was getting, it was a couple years went by, and she started, she began to grow here. See, you think you can only see me, but I can see you. I also notice when you gain weight. And I thought, and then I found out it wasn't. She was pregnant, and the baby was growing. And then eventually, like 9 months, she's sitting there, you know, by herself right there. And I'm like, this is amazing. And then before long, you know, the older you get, how time just goes by. And then the next thing I know, she's holding the baby. And then the next thing I know that the baby is like walking around, you know. And that's what Elijah would do. Elijah would walk up here. And while I preach, during my sermon, and he's just, he'd look at the people and he'd look at me. And I got really nervous because I stomp a lot. And I thought, I'm gonna stomp little Elijah's fingers. And he didn't care. And by the way, can I just stop and say, I don't care. I'm so thankful that God brings people to church, including babies. Can I get an amen? He's walking around, looking at the pastor and just doing his thing. And then I noticed that Daisy and Elijah had a boy sitting with them. He looked like a boy to me because I'm an old man. And I'm like, oh, that's Dad. Dad is coming, right? Now Dad and Daisy and the whole people together, and they're sitting there, you know? And then he came to me after service and he said, hey, Pastor, I need to be a good father, and I don't know how to be a good father. Can we go talk? So we went to coffee. And over the next few sessions, I began to explain to Joshua what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And what happened in Daisy's life is that she had repented and received Christ and was born again, and that he needed to also repent of his sin, receive Christ, and be born again. And right there at a cup of coffee, this man bowed his head, repented of his sin, received Christ as Savior, and was born again. Give them a round of applause. Praise God for that. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And they're sitting right here. Here they are. And she has blue hair now. See, I didn't even know. I assumed it would be something, but it looks good. And Josh came to me not too long ago, and he said, Pastor, I think God wants me to be like a preacher or a pastor or something. I don't know what it is. This is what God does. Now here's the thing. When we take a moment and we lift our head out of the trauma of our own lives, and we look around and we realize that God is doing a bigger story than my story, suddenly a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving begins to flow. Does this make sense? And I find that there are three steps to understanding a happy, thankful heart. Here are those three steps on the screen up here. Here are those three steps. Remember, repeat, recognize. Say it with me. Remember, repeat, recognize. Say it again. Remember, repeat, recognize. Say it again. Remember, repeat, recognize. If you have these three steps, I promise you, as you go into the Thanksgiving year, you are going to grasp the idea of a truly thankful heart, which is a happy heart. Remember, repeat, recognize. What do we need to remember? Here's what you need to remember. Number one, you need to remember what he said. You need to remember what he said. You say, who is he? Who do you think I'm talking about? We're at church. Who do you think we're talking about? Jesus, yeah. Yeah, look at what he says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus said, no. That's how he begins this quote, no. How many of you have ever been told no by God before? Can I get an amen? How many of you have lived long enough to be like, thank you for saying no, God? How many of you know? Jesus says, no, go home. Wow, he said this? Yeah. No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Okay, so the story is in the middle of a story. You understand, Tiffany, what's going on here? Is there was a guy, the maniac, the Bible refers to him as, the maniac of a city called Gadara. It's actually a region. And the disciples and Jesus had pulled their boat alongside of this specific area. They walk into the area, and it was a graveyard. And out of the graveyard came a maniac. He was demon-possessed. Many demons had filled him. And this maniac ran right up to Jesus, and he began to interact with Jesus. And Jesus did with this demon-possessed maniac what Jesus does. Jesus had compassion on him, sat him down, and he cast the demons out. And the man repented of his sins and was born again. And what's so cool about this story is after he changes his life, repents and receives Christ, he's clothed in his right mind and he looks up at Jesus and he says to Jesus, he notices the disciples, he notices Jesus, he notices the disciples, he notices Jesus, and he says to Jesus, Jesus, may I come with you and be one of your disciples? To which you and I would think, of course, the answer is gonna be yes. Of course, Jesus wants him to be a disciple and follow him. And Jesus looks and says, no. Go home. God had a better plan in store for this saved man than the man could ever think of. No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been to you. See, this maniac had been known throughout his entire region, a place called Decapolis. The Deca, it means 10. Opolis means city. It was the region referred to as the 10 villages, the 10 towns, or the 10 cities. He said, go back to your towns and tell them that I saved you. And that's exactly what he did. Look at the next verse. So the man started out to visit the 10 towns of the region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. How many of you can remember the moment you got saved? How many of you can remember the moment you repented of your sin and received Christ? How many of you remember being born again? If you do, raise your hand. How many of you remember? Amen, amen, praise God. And by the way, you're here and you're telling me, like, I don't think I remember that. I don't think that's ever happened to me. That's okay, come talk to me. We can talk about how to be born again. I would love to share with you how you too can be saved, just like this man. Anyway, this guy got saved, and as soon as he got saved, he's like, I gotta tell people about this. So he goes and he tells everybody what Jesus did for him. And it says that everyone was amazed at what? He told them. People got saved because this guy got saved and told everybody else about what Jesus. Look, what Jesus wants to do with you is not only save you, he wants to empower you to tell others about him. Just like this. Remember what he said. No, go home and tell everybody. That's what he said. He said it to him, but he says it to you. He said it to Kakoa. Here's Kakoa's picture. Kakoa is my buddy. 2022, Kakoa and I went to Starbucks and we sat down. He's very religious at the time. I said, let me see what you understand about God. He told me his understanding. I told him, let's study the Bible. So we looked at the Bible. I explained the death of Jesus Christ and what it actually meant. This is a very religious man who had done lots of religious rituals. I explained that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and paid for our sin. And he said, no, I know that. I said, do you know what it means? I said, Jesus himself suffered on the cross because the payment for your sin, the requirement for sin, you do the crime, you have to do the time. Nobody else. It's your sin, which means it's your suffering. But God loves you, and he didn't want you to suffer, so Jesus Christ came, and he suffered upon the cross to be the payment for all of your sin. And at that moment, I can remember Kakoa, the way he thinks. I've gotten to know him real well recently, and I saw him ticking away in his mind. He looked up and he said, well, that's a unique perspective. I said, what? He said, Jesus suffered for my sin. He said, I've been suffering for my sin. Jesus paid for my sin. I've been trying to pay for my own sin. See, some of you are right there. You know about Jesus, but you get this idea that what you've got to do is somehow pay for your own salvation. And if you end up paying for your own salvation, you end up being your own savior. And if you are your own savior, you will die and go to hell because you don't have the ability to save yourself. What you need to do is come to a place of understanding and repent, not only of your sin, repent of your religious self-righteousness and receive Christ as your savior. So right there, Kakoa bowed his head and received Christ as his savior. It was a beautiful moment. He got born again. He was there for about a year and he began to say, man, I gotta start telling other people. And so he began telling his mother, who is, I'm telling you, if Kakoa was religious, Angie was super religious. Like, it's one of the people, you walk in, you know this person, that type of person, you know what I mean? You walk in, you feel like you have to cross yourself, you know what I mean? That's who Angie was. After she started coming to the church, she's like, can I go to coffee with you and talk about Jesus? Angie did. We went to that same Starbucks, and Angie prayed and received Christ as her savior. And these were her words. I'll never forget. I wrote them down. I said, how do you feel? She said, Pastor, I have so much guilt on me. I feel so guilty all the time. She said, I feel like the chains have just fallen off my soul. Look at me. Some of you are super religious and you feel constant guilt and shame, and it's as if you are chained. You need to repent and receive Christ as your savior. He'll save you. Angie was like, man, I can't wait till Alex Zine finds out about this. And so Alex Zine was invited by Angie. That's her daughter, Kakoa's sister. And Alex Zine came and got saved. Alex Zine was excited. And she's like, well, I got to tell my boyfriend, Gary, about it. So Gary came and got saved. And now all the family was like, we got to get Big Alex in here. I said, who's Big Alex? I met Big Alex. Big Alex is not big. He's little Alex, actually. But he's dad. He's the dad of the family. And then he came to church and he went to Starbucks and he got saved. And the family's sitting over here. Let's give them a round of applause. We love them. I'm thankful for their salvation. See, what happened to Kakoa? The answer is he got delivered from demons and sin and religion and all this stupidness, and he got saved and he went back to his home and family and friends and told people about the glorious Jesus that saved his soul. See, we've got to remember what he said. Number two, we have to, does anybody remember the second R word? Oh, it's up on the screen. It's like a cheat code. Repeat what he did. Say it with me. Repeat what he did. Who is the he? It's Jesus. What did he did? I'll tell you what he did. He accepted you. Say it with me. He accepted you. Say it with me. He accepted you. Say it again. He accepted you. Look what the scripture says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Look, this is so important for Christians to get. You got to get this. You got to get this. Accept each other just as Christ accepted you. So that God will be given glory. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus Christ accept you? See, some of you think the only way to come to God is you gotta clean yourself up. And the moment you clean yourself up, now you become presentable to God. That's like a four-year-old trying to clean themselves up to be presentable to his parents. The four-year-old's already filthy. Do you know why? Because he's a four-year-old. You're saying, Pastor, are you telling us that we're filthy? I'm saying that every single human soul that is addicted to sin, like I am and like you are, is filthy in the eyes of a righteous God. Our sin separates us from God. You're lying to yourself to think that somehow you're gonna earn favor with God. God doesn't need you to earn favor with him. He accepts you with pre-existing conditions. Do you know the difference between Jesus and the religious leadership of his day? Do you know the difference between Jesus and religious leaders of today? Here's the difference. Jesus accepts you with pre-existing conditions. So you make it sound like a hospital. It is, a bit. Like Southern Hills is a hospital for sinners. Some of you think it's a museum for saints. That's why you don't like it here. The church is meant to be a hospital for sinners. Some of you are you're not okay with this analogy because you're skeptical about doctors. How many of you are like Josh? I'm a little skeptical. How many of you are a little skeptical of doctors? How many of you got, you know, a little Robert F. Kennedy inside of you, right? How many of you know what I mean? Just a little bit. You're like, oh, I'm a little skeptical of doctors. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, I love doctors. I got multiple doctors that come to the church, and I love them. But I'm a little. How many of you know what they say? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Right? Depends how hard you throw it. You know what I mean? Like, that's. I'm a little bit skeptical, right? Because, like, what is a hospital? There are bad hospitals. How many of you agree there are good hospitals and bad hospitals? Amen? Okay, so don't miss the analogy of the church as a hospital, the metaphor. There are two kinds of bad hospitals. Here they are, two kinds of bad hospitals. Unreasonable hospitals and incompetent hospitals. An unreasonable hospital expects you to be healed before you show up. Could you imagine going to the hospital and you're like, I am not okay. They're like, well, you can't come here. And you're like, why not? They're like, look, the best we can do is put a mask on, pretend you're okay, hide all your symptoms, come in, we'll give you a private room, spend 6 months pretending you're perfect, and then maybe a doctor will see you. You'd be like, that is an unreasonable hospital. How many of you have felt that way about church? This is what the church does. It says, absolutely, you are totally welcome here. Just make sure you pretend you're just like us. You say, what do you mean just like you? Well, just like us, pretending that we're okay too. A bad hospital is an unreasonable hospital that expects you to be healed before you show up. A bad hospital, number two, is an incompetent hospital. You say, what's an incompetent hospital? A hospital that can't or won't heal you. Say, what do you mean? An incompetent hospital is a hospital who can't or won't heal you. You know, one of the concerns I have about the American church is that the modern American church, many of them have given up on healing the sinner of the sin of their cancer. They've just given up. In fact, the biggest they could hope for is maybe just come and give money so that we can keep going. But your sin is your sin, and your cancer is your cancer, and it just seems like you're stuck with it. That's okay, Jesus, yay! And you're suffering in your sin. When I say that we need to accept the sin, when I say we need to accept people, I mean we need to accept the sinner, but we do not accept your sin. You say, Pastor, that doesn't seem really good. No, we accept you, but we will, listen to me, we will not accept your disease. We will help you fight your addiction. We will challenge your worldview. We will show you how to be free from your sin. We will provide accountability and training and spiritual coaching. Why? Why do we want to free you from your disease? Here's why. Because we don't want to teach you how to live with cancer. We want to help you eradicate cancer from your soul. It is the sin that is destroying you. And to church today is saying, well, we all have cancer. I guess that's fine. No, it's not okay. He came to save us from that. Look what the book of Proverbs says. You got to see what the book of Proverbs says. It says, people who conceal their sin will never prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. The reason why people are living in their sin today is because they've been validated in their sin instead of freed from their sin. Can I get an amen? So at this hospital for sinners, we refuse to be unreasonable. We accept you with your sin. But we also refuse to be incompetent, to leave you in your sin. That's why I love stories like that of Laureen. Oh, I love Laureen. Laureen's such a sweetheart. Laureen went to coffee with me, and I was trying to gauge her spiritual knowledge. I call it a spiritual diagnosis. And I sat with her, and I said, Laureen, let me ask you a few questions just to see where you're at. See, as a pastor, my job is to help get you from where you are to your next step spiritually. So I need to gauge what you know about Christianity. So let me ask you a question, a few questions. Number one, I remember asking her, what's your favorite story in the Old Testament? And her eyes lowered and she looked down I could see she felt a little shame. And I said, no, I'm not here to shame you. I'm trying to figure out where you're at. She said, Pastor, I don't know any stories in the Old Testament. I said, that's okay. What about the New Testament? What's your favorite story in the New Testament? I'm trying to gauge, you see, where her spiritual understanding is. She said, oh. And I saw her eyes dart up and to the left, and she said, do you know the story about the very sinful woman who was taken and thrown on the ground, and there were a bunch of religious leaders, and they were gonna, kill her, and Jesus steps in and saves her? And I'm like, yes, that's one of my favorite stories. And she said, yeah, I love that one. I said, so do I. I said, do you know the whole story? And she said, no. I said, let me tell you. I said, she got caught in adultery and a bunch of religious leaders took her and threw her in a public place and they picked up big stones and they're ready to kill her for her sin. And they bring Jesus in and they say, Jesus, does this woman deserve to die? And Jesus said, let the one who has never sinned cast the first stone. And all of these religious people dropped their stones. And the woman was cowering down in the dirt, and Jesus leaned down and said to her, woman, look around you. Where are your accusers? And she looked around and then looked into the eyes of Jesus and said, nowhere, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and stop your sinning. And in that moment, the tears that were welling inside of Lorraine's eyes burst like a dam, and they flooded. And I'm not a super emotional guy. Normally when people cry, I'm smiling, which really sounds terrible. It really does, like I'm a psycho. But in that moment, I started crying too. And so I went over, I got some napkins, and I said, why does that story mean so much to you? She said, because I need to be saved by Jesus too. And right there, she bowed her head and received Christ as her Savior, was born again, was baptized last month. How awesome is that? See, that's Lorraine. It's not just Lorraine, you see, who was healed by the good physician in this hospital. It was people like Lorraine. See, Lorraine, just about a year ago, it was almost Christmas time, I'll remember, because it was everything was Christmassy and it was December, and this is Lorraine. And then 6 months, she received Christ as her Savior, was born again and baptized. And then 6 months later, I think at the exact same booth, this next person named Jolynn came, and she also got saved. This was during the summertime, just about 6 months ago. And then this is what's crazy. Those two became friends, and God began to work on both of their hearts separately. And they went and talked to AJ and Loida and said, we think God wants us to start a women's group to study the Bible, just finding women just like us. Do you know other women just like us? And AJ and Loida were like, absolutely. And now those two started this group. And these are all women who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. They've been born again. And now they're, making pumpkins to worship the devil. I don't know. It's Halloween. I don't know what they're doing. It's a joke. Relax. Some of you are so serious about everything. This is Denzel, not in the next picture. This is Denzel. Denzel, when he came to meet with me, was wearing this Dutch Brothers jersey. And I was, because I'm a Starbucks person and he's Dutch Brothers. And I told him, I will not meet with you. It's not a joke, But no, I like burnt coffee. I really do. I like burnt coffee, not too sweet, not too creamy. But those with taste buds still enjoy Dutch Brothers, right? So he does. And he worked at Dutch Brothers, and I said, tell me your story. How'd you come to church? And he said, Zach invited me. And I didn't know who Zach was because everybody called him Zach. He grew up here. I called him Isaac. But now he goes by Zach. When these people, they go from kids to teenagers to adults, they change the name. It's not fair to the pastor because I knew you, right? I was there. And now you're a different person. Stop it. It's freaking me out. He says, Zach invited me. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And then Zach, and I said, well, how'd you come to church? And this is what he said. He said, well, something about Isaac was different. And I asked him, what's different about you? And he said, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I don't know if that's exact words, but something like Jesus is what's made the difference. Something like that, Denzel. And he said, Jesus, I know about Jesus. Like, I want to know more. He said, well, I can't explain it all. Why don't you just come to church with me? And so Denzel started coming to church, like, what is it, like a year ago or so? Yeah. And then after church, he came and talked to me, and he's like, hey, can we go do one of those coffee things? And I said, sure. And then he comes with the Dutch Brothers. So it's so rude. It really is. And right there at this coffee shop, Denzel bowed his head, repented of his sin, and received Christ as a Savior. He was born again. Now this is cool. We don't know what God's going to do with Denzel. Don't hold him to it. But recently Denzel told me, I feel like God might be wanting me to be a missionary or something. I'm like, well, that's cool, you know. Sorry, you're not good enough, but like maybe. Do you think that's what I said? No. Do you know why? Because remember last week's sermon? God uses flawed people. Can I get an amen? Oh, man. This is so good. This is Peter. When I met Peter, his name was Ali. Ali sits in the third service right there where you're at, Christian. And when we met, I'll be brief on this one. When we met, it's a beautiful story. He said, I'm very nervous to meet you. I said, why? And he said, I'm very nervous to meet you because once you find out who I am, I don't think you're going to accept me. I said, well, who are you? You know, who knows, you know? I'm like, maybe not. I'm supposed to. Jesus will, but I might not like you at all. And he said, my family is devout Muslim. I'm a Muslim. And he said, but I've been studying, and I don't think Allah is God. I don't think Muhammad is his prophet. And I don't know who Jesus is, and I want to know who Jesus is. And he said, I honestly thought when I went to church, these were his words, I thought when we went to church, they would reject me because I am Muslim. And he said, but I came in here and everybody was so nice and they're so happy that I'm here. And he said, I decided to go to coffee and talk about Jesus. And so we sat there over a cup of coffee and Ali bowed his head. This is what he said. He said, I started reading the Bible, hearing the sermons. And he said, the more I studied about Jesus, this is what he said. He said, I realized Jesus came to save me and Jesus is my friend. Those were his words. And I'm like, hey, man. I'm like, this is amazing. And he prayed and received Christ as his Savior. And then he said this to me. He said, Pastor, I want to get baptized soon, but also don't call me Ali anymore. He said, I want my name to be Peter. This is Randy and Chris. Randy and Chris came to church and with some friends. Friends inviting friends to church is how people find out all about Jesus. And Randy and Chris, they're sitting in the back. I saw them at this service. And Randy's a cop, if you can't tell. And anytime I get near cops, I try to be cool, but I'm not. I'm nervous inside. I really am. I'm so nervous around cops. And I don't do a lot of bad stuff. I speed every day, every day, every day. It's part of my lifestyle. And I repent of my sin, but it's hard to get out of it. And so I thought he was there to get me. He wasn't. He came to talk about Jesus. And he came in and he sat down. And this part I've never told you what I'm about to tell you, okay? So Randy come in to sit down and he's in his cop, you know, costume or whatever, I don't know. And I'm like a little nervous. And so I start going through the thing, you know, God loves you, but you're a sinner. You need to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to admit you're a sinner, admit that you can't save yourself, believe that Jesus Christ died upon the cross for your sins, buried, rose from the grave, call upon Christ, went through the whole thing. Every single thing I said, he said, yes. Yes, yes, very good. Yes. He was polite, but like a little too polite. You ever met with somebody who's like a little too polite and you're like, what's your game? Like, really? Like, he was like a little like, uh-huh, yes, very interesting, very interesting. Because I write notes after I do the meetings and I'm like, he was just overly like, just agreeable. So I stopped because I don't like to talk people into Jesus. I want to know there's a real conversion going on. We're not playing games. I'm not a salesperson here. Like, you can reject Christ. That's up to you. But I need to know this is real. And he said to me, so I said, I stopped. Do you remember this part? I looked and I said, are you serious about this? Are you sure? Because I asked, I said, this is what I remember saying. I said, so would you like to repent and receive Christ? He said, yes, I would. And I'm like, normally there's like a tear or there's like a smile or something. But he's like, yes, yeah, do that now. Like, that's how we responded. So I stopped and I said, are you certain? Is there any other reason why you're trying to do it? He's like, no. And then he looked at me seriously. He said, no, like, it makes sense. I want to do that now. Okay, let's do it. I almost felt like I'm bringing him before the Lord. I'm like, I don't know this guy. He's just, I don't know. But if he wants to get saved, save him. And he did. He prayed. He was so emotional. He prayed. Or was not emotional. He just prayed like seriously and called upon Christ and was his savior. And he went home. 3 weeks later, same Starbucks, and his wife, Chris, comes in. And Chris comes in to me, and she is a different personality, smiles and big, and she sat down, and she's like, I said, hey, Chris, how you doing? She said, I'm great. She said, let me tell you what happened. 3 weeks ago, my husband came home and said, guess what happened? I got saved today. That's what she said. And she said, I want to go home today and say to him, guess what happened today? I got saved today. And then Chris bowed her head and received Christ as Savior, and they've been got baptized. They've been here every week. They sit over there with marvelous Mark because he needs friends. Can I get an amen? Let's give him a round of applause. I just don't have time. I don't have time. I want to tell you more about Gloria. Gloria's sitting over here. I love Gloria. Gloria is a wonderful person. And she grew up in Chile under a communist regime, did not hear anything about God. And see, some of you young people, look at me. Some of you young people, you do not understand what communism is. You need to talk to these immigrants from communist countries. That's what you need to do. She said, I didn't know who God was. I didn't know who Jesus was. And then when communism fell in the 90s, she had an opportunity of studying Jesus and the church for the very first time. But it wasn't until decades later when she found this church and found another individual who was trying to bring her to Christ. And she prayed and received Christ as her Savior. It was beautiful. This is Mark. Mark is a vet. Captain Mark Phelan with the United States Army. When you meet him, you know immediately he's in the Army. And Mark, I don't have time. Mark's story is beautiful, but I'll say this. Mark repented, received Christ as a Savior, got baptized, and he's very serious. And he said, Pastor, I believe I need to start a small group. And he started a small group for vets and for first responders. Remember I announced that a couple weeks ago, and that's what he does now? This is Robert and Ebony. Robert got saved. Daddy got saved. And then after Daddy got saved, Mommy Ebony came and got saved. And this was a picture of Ebony saying, hey, all my kids, this is their litter. You see the litter? Right? They're like, what about all these kids? You know, they need to get saved too. They're like, can we go to Starbucks? So we went to Starbucks a couple weeks ago. I had the children's director and I had the youth director. And we're all sitting around and we're eating cake pops and talking about Jesus. And a couple of them got saved there. A couple of them saved at the 11:30 service in about 45 minutes. Mom and Dad already got baptized. All seven of the kids are going to follow Christ in the waters of baptism at 11:30. How awesome is that? This is what God does. This is Kyle. Kyle met with me at you'll never guess where. Yes. Not Dutch Bros. Stop. Like, this is a Christian church. You understand? That's a joke. Relax. I could tell he was visibly nervous. He was trembling. His voice was quivering. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Trying to calm him down. How you doing? He said, good. We sat down. He's very serious. And I said, so, you know, you've been to church now? You a Christian? Something like that. And I remember his first line was, in fact, I wrote it down. He said, I'm not a Christian at all. In fact, I'm closer to a devil worshiper. And I'm like, okay. Okay. I grab my heart and I said, you're wearing a cross. Like, this picture was taken 45 minutes later. I'm like, you're wearing a cross. He said, yeah, I'm learning about Jesus. I'm like, okay. There's a lot of contradiction there, you know? And then he said this. He got very serious. He said, I'm nervous because I want to tell you some things, but I'm not sure. I don't want to scare you. And I said, I've been a pastor for 20 years in Vegas. Not a lot of things frighten me. And he laughed like you're laughing. Years ago, I was told as a pastor, you know, don't show a reaction, right? So you say, are you afraid or surprised sometimes? Yeah, people say all sorts of stuff to me. And all the time, I'm like, Like some of you have told me some stuff, and I'm just like, But inside, I'm like, oh, what in the world? I just, like inside, I'm like, what did they, But outside, I'm just like, yeah. Oh, sure, yeah. So Kyle looked at me and he said, but serious, this is very serious. And he said, I go through a lot of darkness. And he said, I've had some very dark thoughts. And I said, well, about what? He said, well, when my friends invited me to come to the church, the first voices and thoughts that I felt were, you need to go and hurt the pastor. He said, I didn't even know you. And he said, I've been wrestling with that thought. And I was like, Some people, look at me. Some of you think you know what an exorcism looks like because you watched a movie with rain coming down on a guy holding a bag and he has a collar. You watch movies. That's not an exorcism. An exorcism is when somebody comes to Jesus Christ who has been wrestling demons. And they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and those demons get vanquished. That's what happened with Kyle. You don't believe me? Ask Kyle. He's sitting right there. Hallelujah. He got saved. He got baptized. His girlfriend Tiffany come get saved, baptized. His friend Ryan come and get saved, baptized. His brother got baptized at the first service. Here's the point. Listen, you say, why are you telling us all this? Here's why. Because if you are going to have an attitude of gratitude, a perspective of thanksgiving for your heart, you've got to get your head out of this little world of yours and see what God is doing here. Amen. It's unique. But it's not just here, which leads to the third thought, and then we got to go. Here it is. Does anybody remember the third one? Recognize. Recognize the global connection. Because what is happening at Southern Hills is happening all over the world. This is Matt Goins. He's one of your missionaries to Honduras. He's sitting here with Thomas. Thomas needed to receive Jesus Christ as a Savior. Guess what they're doing here eating and why he's taking a selfie? Because they're doing in Honduras exactly what we do at Starbucks. People getting saved. Do you understand? And Thomas just repented and received Christ as his Savior. He was so excited just a couple weeks ago. He walked up to Pastor Matt and he said, guess what? My 8-year-old daughter, she wants to be saved too. And now here, this is amazing. Hopping on all over the world. This is a church that we're supporting. It's a brand new church. They're in another building. But this guy is a pastor. His name is Zeb. Zeb used to work here and he went to go start a church up in Washington, SeaTac area, Seattle, Tacoma, you know? And they're planting a church there. This is a man named Cooper. Cooper contacted Zeb and said, I've got a lot of questions about Jesus, a lot of questions about church. He said, let's go to coffee. And they started going to coffee together, talking about Jesus. Cooper repented and received Christ as a Savior. And now Cooper is going to be part of the church planting launch team to help them start this brand new church next year. How awesome is that? And it's not just happening up northwest or all the way in Honduras. It's happening right here in our city. This is Bradley and Annie Balfour. They're starting Village Church. You're supporting that church. Some of our members are going to that church on purpose. It starts in January, and we want to help that church start. It's starting right next door in Southern Highlands, in a little school there. You say, why? Because what God is doing here, God is doing all over the world. And for me, when I'm struggling with a heart of thanksgiving and an attitude of gratitude, I pull myself up out of the misery and I say, you know what, God? You're really doing something out here. Today's sermon, God, I'm thankful for what you're doing here. Next week's sermon, God, I'm thankful for what you're doing in here. You do not want to miss the conclusion of this two-part sermon. Thankful for what you're doing inside. Let's pray.